We're in lesson 84 in the book of Ephesians, and if you know about the book of Ephesians, it's about advanced mystery truths for us today and how we can live today in this nasty now as if we're already in heaven. You know, and that might be for some of us, it's like, well, wow, that's a lot to comprehend. But no, when Christ Jesus is inside of you and you got the Word of God rightly divided, it makes a difference in our life, does it not? Okay. And now we looked at last week, chapter 6, verse 4. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Verse 5, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling in singleness of heart as unto Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. And once again, we was talking about some things last week about the children, but there's three reasons why we do good works under grace. You know, you can do good works under law, and you can get your finger pointed at you and say, do this, and you're going to do good works to get approval. But there's three good reasons why we do good works under grace, and we talked about this in time and time, but you do it because you are told to do it. Now, there's a difference between being a dad and being ahead of your family and stuff like, and telling your children what to do. That's, you've got to do that. But we also, as adults, some of us are told what to do in our workplace, right? We're told what to do under the law, that type of thing. But under grace, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. The first reason to do good under grace is because that is what God saved us for. He didn't save us to continue in the things that we was doing. We was doing a pretty good job at that without God's help, was we not? You know, I think I was. I thought I knew really right from wrong. But until I started understanding right division, I really know what's right from wrong now. You know, your parents bring you up and say, do this, do that, right, wrong. We know that. And I do also believe that every one of us has a conscience inside of us that can tell us by conscience, that's really not right to do that. But we do it anyway with the flesh. So God did not save us, like I just said, to do with our own thing. And the fact that he saved us made us a part of what he is doing today, and we can walk in that and those good works to obtain the foundations of the world for the body of Christ. So we're doing good works. Why? Why do you want today? Let me ask you this. Why do you want today to do good works? We're grateful to please God. To be ambassadors. So there's really some good reasons why we want to do good works. Now let me ask you something. Do you do good works to keep your salvation?
No.
In your mind and in the Bible, it's forever settled, guys. You should ever remember that. I know we don't feel good enough sometimes, right? We don't feel worthy. Who am I to be an ambassador of God? You know? But the thing is, first five chapters of the book of Romans settles it. It's forever settled. You need to get that down in your mind. It's about salvation. God, Paul, if you notice in the book of Ephesians where we're at, he never goes back and say, hey, you remember when you was lost? No. Saved and move on. And the mandates is that the things that God gives us to do, if you think about it, God gives us a lot to do good works. In our walk and our talk. Secondly, we do good works because of the long-term positive benefits of good works. Now, you know, you think about, I sow to the flesh, I'm going to reap what?
The flesh.
You know, Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 and 8, you sow good things, you reap good things. You sow to the flesh, you're going to reap. You sow to the Lord, you're going to reap what the Lord. That's the period I believe we're in. Once you're saved today, you're in the Galatian period. You reap what you sow, guys. You know, when I sowed bad seeds when I was 10, 11, 12, 18 years old, that crop's gone. But I can continue to sow good seeds today, and you and I can too. And when that crop comes up, that's the crop that you want to see, isn't it? That's the crop that we want our kids to see and our grandchildren to see. So if you sow to the Spirit, you're going to get everything out of life that is given to me out of life of Jesus Christ. That's a good thing. And you're going to reap benefits of eternal life. So that's exciting to me. And you know what? You don't have to worry about that. You know, we talked about being, you know, worry and stress and things like that. If you're really worried and stressed about things, what good is it to you? You know, I mentioned in prayer being overwhelmed and being stressed and all that stuff. I'm like, there's some things I don't have control over. But the things that I got control over, I should be rejoicing in who I am. You know, it's funny because we was doing some things yesterday out of town a little bit, moving some things, and when I get hungry, I use that as an excuse. You know?
We like to call
Yeah. And so I'm like, we went to these little towns over here, things close at 2 o'clock in the day. It's 1:30 and there was already closed. And we're getting hungry and hungry and hungry. So we went to this little place called Scooters or something like that. And I said, I guess I'm just going to have to be thankful to eat a big old grease pile of this and that, you know. But I ate a Reuben sandwich. It was really, really good. You know, so I'm just knowing that you've got to be thankful and know whatever part you are in the flesh. I could got really in the flesh and said, no, I'm not eating that. I'm going to drive 2 hours down the road. And then I really would have been out of shape. But that's flesh stuff. But in the spirit, I say, I'm pulling in there. Whatever it is, I'm going to eat it. I'm going to be thankful, get my belly full, move on down the road. But the thing is, also, well, you reap what you sow. And so it isn't a good, there's a good motivation to do good works on the basis of long positive benefits out there. My benefits and your benefits are not of this world. Now, many of us in the back in the day, you worked and got a pension, right? Then after a period of time, they cut that pension out on a lot of places, so you had to buy into your period of time. So you long benefits, when you work for 30 years, you're long-term to get benefits for the rest of your life, right? As long as you live. What if those benefits run out?
A lot of them have.
You know, so they have to borrow here and borrow there to keep your benefits going. Ours today in Christ Jesus are out of this world, man.
Secure.
You know, and it's secure. And the benefits that we have, long term, eternal life, everlasting life benefit. So in our mind, we should be thinking, that's a positive. That's where I'm going. But yet we got houses and cars and kids and stuff like that. You know, that's temporal. That's very temporal. And, you know, I know many of us in our lifetimes, you know, probably people that they, if the Lord came today and raptured the church out of here, some of us would have to be jerked out twice because we're so ingrained in this world and things that we want, you know, he'd have to double jerk us out of here, you know, because we don't want to leave. We don't want to give ourselves. And some of us are like, hey, come get me right now. I'm ready to go. I'd much rather go now than take the dirt bath. But, hey, the ones that take the dirt bath, guess what they do?
They get to go.
They get to go first. You know, so either way, it's victory in Christ Jesus. So when you sow the Spirit, you get a lot more things, positive things out there, and it's a good motivation to do good works. Third is the judgment seat of Christ. The eternal glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, Ephesians chapter 2. Timothy chapter 2 and verses like that, Ephesians chapter 2, 7, that in ages to come he may show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us. We study the word of God rightly divided. We break it up in three time periods, don't we? Times past, but now, and ages to come. And ages to come, there are going to be exceeding graces and riches in Christ Jesus. That's my hope. Oh, I don't have a chart up here, so when I point that way, you know where I'm talking about. You know, sorry, but anyway, eternal. So it's ages to come, and when in ages to come, you're going to shine the glory of His grace at the judgment seat of Christ when He judges you for the things that you've done in your body. Okay, with this doctrine, right? You know, there's some people get saved, they trust Christ Jesus, died and buried, rose again for their sins, and never gets involved in studying the Word of God rightly divided. And they're saved as you and I ever was. They're saved. But when they get presented in judgment seat of Christ, He's going to look at them like, what didn't you do in this Word? You know? And you know what? The Bible says you're going to stand ashamed. Can you imagine a 67-year-old man standing ashamed? You probably can't think of that. We can think of a little child, 13 years old, standing ashamed in front of the parents. You ever stand ashamed in front of your parents? Many a time. Yeah, many a time. So the thing is, when you stand in front of God, whether you're an adult and full-grown son of God, the Bible says you're going to stand ashamed. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed. Now, it's not going to be one of those, well, you know what ashamed is. I don't have to. It's going to be a shame. You're going to be ashamed because what? I had the words. I had the. Sir?
What you could have done, sir.
I had the words of God. I had His will to tell me what to do. And I just, you know, ignorant people kills me. But I know what ignorant means. Not knowing. And I was ignorant once, so I have to step back and say, I know where you're at. But when you willfully ignore it, now that's the thing that I just mark you and avoid you. Because there are people out there willfully ignore what the Word of God says. And all you can do is, you can still be the friend, in a way, say, hey, this is where I'm at, this is where you're at, I'm moving on. But the kindness of that, and the more responsibility you've been in His grace, the more demonstration of glory of that grace that's going to be through you. So there's some glory in the Lord in eternal future. You know what that glory is? You're going to shine like a rainbow. Okay? You're going to shine out there. The glory of God's going to shine on you. And it's going to be wonderful for the rest of your life. You know? You know what the Shekinah glory everybody talks about? You know what that is? It's a rainbow. Okay? The white, the brightness of that. Well, let's picture this. Remember the coat of Joseph? The coat of many colors? Not Dolly Parton's song. You know, but the coat of many colors, that's God's glory being put on His Son. And that same glory is going to be put on you. So we're going to shine like real rainbows out in the eternal heaven. Now, Ephesians chapter 6, Paul is going to start dealing with the servants. Verse 9 says, and ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your masters also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with them. And he's talking about ye masters. And he's going to change in reference to a wider social text, because we went from the family, we went from the wife, the husband, the children, and on down. Now it's going to a social aspect of the context. And he started wives, like I said, in verse 22. Husbands, verse 25. He went to children in 6:1 and fathers in 6:4. And he goes through that marriage. And there, when he goes through with the family, and now he's going out there with the context of the outside the home and social aspects. Why would he do that? Why would he just go outside a home and now he's out there amongst the workplace and social places? I mean, think about that for a minute. Why ain't he just dwelling in this local church with this aspect? Because it's a universal message, isn't it?
Right.
Everybody should understand this thing. So 6:5 says, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh with fear and trembling. That means desiring to please them with a serious mindness. I mean, that's rough to serve, isn't it? You know, when I think about serving, I'm serving you guys, I'm serving the Lord, but also serving in the workplace. You know, I have a boss to look up to. I have a boss that tells me what to do. I have to serve there, you know, in the world or in who I am, Christ. And you won't obey them. And you want to be, you don't want to be a rebel. You don't want to be that type of person. You don't want to be a self-willed guy. You don't want to be, you don't want to be, obey your masters in the flesh with fear and trembling. You know, am I scared of my boss? I respect my boss. You know what I mean? And I don't want to sit there and every time he sees me or I see him, I'm just shaking. You ever done that? They call you and say, hey man, we got to talk with you. And you're like, what have I done? What have I done? What if, you know, and you go in there and you're like, and you got that defense mechanism up, right? Just waiting for him to say, and it's just like, hey, we just want to tell you did a good job today. And you're like, wow, well, thank you. You know, that type of thing. And then there's sometimes say, hey, you know, we got a call in on you today. You know, they said you did this, this, this. You know, that type of thing. You're like, okay, I did it. You know, that type of thing, whatever. But you keep moving on that way. It does not mean you have the grounds of shaking your boots like I just said. Verse 5 through 7, you're continuing. In singleness of your heart and unto Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of God, doing the will from worth. Isn't that really where the issue is? Now, we can have stuff up here, head knowledge. If it don't get down in this heart where your conscience is, where the real you is, you're going to make some bad decisions. You're going to start pleasing men by the flesh and not by yourself. With a good will doing service as the Lord and not men. You notice how often it says that as unto Christ. Verse 6, as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. That heart is the function of that soul, guys. And that's soul service. And that's where it really gets deep in you. You've probably walked and talked with people and say, he's got a heart issue. You know, it's not down in his heart. He's got bitterness and all that stuff right here. You know, and up here he knows the Word of God. He knows how he ought to talk. But when it gets down in there where the real thing is, it bothers you. It really does. In this verse, he's referring to a slave, if you will. Verse 8, whether he be bond or free, he might be a slave. Or you might be somebody employee. You might be a free man and not a slave. But the free man who is working for somebody, the same thing. It's all that. I've been working for people. I've been working for a man since I was 15 years old. You know, some of you probably even further back than that. But the thing is, I've always worked for the man. You know, I could have been a slave. I could have been a free man. But I tell you, they treated me all kinds of different ways in the past. You know, and I'm not saying it's good or bad. I'm just saying you can be caught up in that. Where they're a servant and you're looking at that guy and you're like, if he does that to me one more time. You know, and you know what I mean? It's just like, I'm not as man pleasers. You please, you do it for the Lord. I didn't have to take that job. You know, I think about that all the time. Sometimes we get caught up in jobs. We get caught up in situations. And you're like, I got a choice. I don't have to work there. And when you sign that contract, you know, I was thinking about this the other day. I've been over there, this one account for several years. I hadn't had a raise in several years. And they're bringing people in, and they're bringing them in at the same level as I am right now. And I got downwind of that, you know, because I train them. You know, what can I do, right? You know, I don't go to my boss and say, hey, you paid Howard, you're bringing Howard in the same amount of, no, that's between Howard and the boss. You know what I mean? I agree to that. So I did ask them for, you know, hey, it's about time. So he's working on some things, but I did not use that as an excuse. You don't do that. You know, one thing you found out, you don't talk about money with other employees. You know that? But yeah, it's on your mind. It's like, hey, let's talk. And then the minute they say they got a 2.5 cents more mile than you did, that just devastates you. And many of you are thinking, like, 2 cents a mile? Gosh, who you work for? Dan knows what I'm talking about. You probably know what I'm talking about. When I first started out trucking, going on the road, I got 18 cents a mile. 18. So my mindset was, if those wheels wasn't turning, I'm not making no money. So, you know, that type of thing. So now, you know, some of them's getting 50, 60, 70, 80 cents a mile. And you're like, whoa, you know. But the economy's different, all that stuff. You're going to spend it. But anyway, let's move on. The whole passage does not say anything about changing the social structure of the community in which you live. It says to go out in the social structure and serve the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I think of a dear brother back there. You know, he's working in a social environment. And he's out there with all kinds of people all the time. It's rough, isn't it? And it's rough being who you are in Christ. But if they see who you are in Christ, they're going to depend on you more. But at the same time, when things happen around us, we're like, why ain't the Lord helping me? You know, and we put ourselves in situations that we really got to watch what we do. But the aspects of who you are, you work for the Lord, not for men. Now, the Lord's not going to write your paycheck. He's not going to do it. The Bible says if you don't work, you don't what? And if you don't take care of your family, you what? You're worse than an infidel. So when you work for the paycheck, you know, you can thank the Lord for it. You can thank the Lord for anything. But he didn't sign that paycheck, did he? You know what I'm getting at? So you've got to work. The Lord's got to be inside of you and be thankful for things. And it's a hard decision to make sometimes when you think about, I don't want to work there no more. I got up Friday. It was cold, wind blowing. It was wind chilled, 21 degrees. I'm cranking down them dolly wheels, cranking up them dolly wheels, walking around that trailer, opening up that trailer door in that cold wind, 3:30 in the morning, 4 o'clock in the morning. I'm like, I don't want to do this. I don't want to do this. And in your mind, you're thinking, how can I get out of this situation? You know, can I just turn my truck off? Come pick me up, honey. I don't feel good. Or you just go through the day. And the sunshine started brightening up, and like, well, it's going to be a good day, even though it was still cold and dry. You have days like that. And I'm still serving. You know, Christ is still in me. I'm still going to do the job because I like to eat. Sherry tells me I like to eat plentifully. You know, the soup beans and cornbread and stuff like that I haven't had in a while. And they would taste good right now. You know, it really would. But look, it's one way I go to Cracker Barrel, I'll get me a country ham, butter, carrots, and turnip greens. You know, every time, that's my meal. You know, you can make that at home. Ephesians 6:8, knowing that whatsoever good thing a man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. The idea is just work for the Lord. You know, you got to do it for the Lord. Now, I know what we're thinking, what about me? What about me? You know, I think that all the time. What about me? It ain't about me. Amen. You know, we talked about the other day that when you first trust Christ Jesus died for your sins, buried, and rose again, and he took 1 ounce of that blood, we're just saying ounce, and applied it to your sin debt, okay, that substance, that's almost like silver and gold, that's substance. Paper money is not substance, okay? When you buy things out of gold and silver, that's substance, that's real things. Blood is real things. When he applied that blood to your account, you know you're no longer you. You're no longer yours. So we just need to get out of ourselves and say we're living for the Lord. Because he bought me. And he paid for me. You know, you're talking about being a slave. You know, or a servant. That's that servant mentality. That we're going to serve the Lord Jesus Christ because he owns me. He owns you if you're saved today. And do you know how to enjoy your work? Okay. We talked about these portions the other day. One is in marriage and one is in work. Remember that Ecclesiastes we looked at? It's joy of being, you know, at work, a marriage and work. And a secret of being happy of your work is just to throw yourself into it put your soul into your work. Now, some of us has worked around Christian organizations, stuff like that, and we expect to be happy, don't we, sometimes? We expect our co-workers to have a joyful heart and rather to serve the Lord, but sometimes that's not true. But you know why? Because they're human too, and we're human too. And you don't know what they went through that day. You don't, you know, sometimes I don't know what you guys are going through, but you look kind of happy this morning. Got a smile on your face. Sun shining. You made the trip in. Man, what better can you get? Had donuts. Drunk all the coffee. Gotta make a bigger pot next time. But look, you know, you look at the work as if your employer is the Lord. That's kind of hard, isn't it? What about if you, some of you retired? You know, you're still serving. I'm not saying you're serving your wife or vice versa, but you know, you're still serving, aren't you? You're still going out in the communities. You still have a house to do. Verse 5, you are serving in the singleness of your heart as unto who? Christ. Who are you really serving? You are really serving who? Christ. Man, that makes a difference in your aspect and in your thought pattern. You know, all that. So, you know, so who is your employer in this case?
The Lord.
That's what I say. He bought you. You're serving Him. He's your employer. But you know, in our mind, you know, your head says that the guy who pays you is your boss. I mentioned my boss man a while ago. He pays me. He's boss. But you have that conscience and that systems of norms and standards and fortified by the doctrine. And verse 6 says, not with eye service as men pleasers do. We don't want to do the same thing they're doing out there. Have we? Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. But you don't want to once you know this doctrine and the truth. You know, you don't want to, you know, go up to your boss and, you know, rat on people or, you know, just, you know, and trying to get ahead of people. You know what I mean? I see that, you know, every day. And you're like, really? Why don't you just be yourself and let your boss choose you for what you do? You know? You know, but we see people around us all the time in a workplace like they're going in there every day. They're, you know, complaining and the boss is bowing down to them and giving them what they want. And you go in there and say, you know, I just have an easy day today. Well, you know, if I do it to you, I do it. I'm like, you just, hello, you know, and yeah, flesh. And you're like, okay, I'll do the job, you know, that type of thing. And it looks like this person is, you know, employer, and you got to look at that situation and you say, I don't want to be like him. That's not me. And you know what? They know who you are, and they'll work you. And they, you know, and they say, well, give it to Ed. Ed'll do it. And sometimes Ed's just looking, and I'm like, I need a break. You know, that's the other day I told my boss that, fact, if I can say this without getting in trouble, you know, Friday, you know, I felt fatigued. You know, 5 days of getting up and working and, you know, body's breaking down and you're holding steering wheels and I work out and all that stuff and we're resting. And I told my boss, I said, I feel fatigued. And he goes, well, you know, we got these X amount of loads Monday and, you know, you're talking about that's all they're coming. And I said, yeah, I'm telling you, I feel fatigued. I'm letting you know I feel fatigued. Okay, and that's my note saying I might not show up Monday. And you know, I'm serious.
Flesh.
And I'm like, but you, I told him, I said, but you know I do the job. That's what I told him. He says, well, I'll put you on a no-touch freight. And that's what I'm doing Monday. I'm going just drop and hook and come back, that type of thing, I think. I didn't even see if my load plan was, but anyway, that's another thing. He took it easy on me. You know, I just asked just to, but anything, I would have done the job Monday, and I would have done it and got home and rested, that type of thing. But rest is very important when you have to please your employer. You know that? You don't want to go in there with minimal amount of sleep and you go in there and look at your boss, because he's going to say one thing and you're going to turn and the fangs are going to come out and the claws are going to go this way, and you may say some things that you're going to regret. I'm pretty sure every one of us has been that way. But you know what? You work, you have a work ethic in Christ Jesus and who you are and that. And we do it, verse 7, with good will, doing service as to the Lord. No matter what we do, guys, we need to do it to who? To the Lord. And you know, we picked on the kids there a couple weeks ago, and we picked on the dads. But as you have a work ethic in your home, and they see you, and they grow up, and sometimes they don't see you. Where's my dad at? Dad's working. You know, why is he working so late? Well, he's doing it because you want these things and all that stuff. And you teach them the right way to do it. And he does that in every verse. And he says, when you work, do it with a good attitude. That's hard. Do it with a good attitude. And, you know, if you're grumbling and gripe on the job, you're out of the will of God. You know, even though I'm fatigued, I wasn't grumbling, and I'm fatigued. You know, I'm letting you know. But in my flesh, I was like, you know, in my flesh, I was thinking, I'm fatigued. I don't care what you're going to do. If I want to take off Monday, I'm taking off Monday. Well, this is Sunday. Tomorrow's Monday. I'm going to work. You know, that type of thing. But, you know, when you're funny, when you're tired, you say things, don't you? You do things. So, verse 8 says, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond and free. You serve Christ in the capacity where you are, and you just keep on slaving for who? That's the thing. You just keep pushing and pushing. And then you live for Him so that the people sees God's attitude in you and through you, and His life working in you and through His words. When you make a difference in whatever situation may be, I'm not the only one fatigued, guys. It's a high season and feed and seed. You like seed potatoes to put in your ground, don't you? You like seed onions to plant. Everybody likes them, so everybody's getting them. So we're working. We're making more stops. We're going to these places. So I'm not the only one feel that way. And you probably feel fatigued as a mom, and you're working, you know, at home, and you got all these kids, and your husband comes home with a smile on his face, and you're like, you should be here. You should take care of these kids. And most times we go, okay, honey, what do you need me to do? You know, I'll make supper tonight. You know, you want peanut butter or you want jelly? Or you want peanut butter? You know, I'll make you something. You just sit there. Take your load off me. I remember last week, you know, I went to the gym and Sherry was working all that stuff. And I got her text late. Hey, I'm tired. You know, can you stop by and bring something home? I'm looking at that text. I don't want to stop. I did not want to stop. I wanted to go home. I got home, she was sitting in her little chair, and she turned and went, where's the food? Like that, and I'm like, it's okay, honey, it's okay. But you didn't get my text. I said, I got your text.
Horrible impression.
Well, that's what it looked like, you know. But the thing is, I walked in the kitchen, I pulled out one of those fancy meals that we get delivered, which I last want. I cooked a meal, 35 minutes, it was done. She had a smile on her face. You know, I didn't fuss, I didn't complain, because I know she had a hard day. Mine wasn't stressful at all. You know, that type of thing. But anyway, I did it for the Lord. You know, that's the thing, same thing in Ephesians chapter 6 we're talking about. You love your wife as you love yourself. I could have stomped and said, let's go, or why didn't you cook this? You know, you've been sitting here for 45 minutes on your butt, you know, and all that stuff. But the thing is, I went in and had a servant's mentality about me. And I said, you know, I'll take care of that. I'll take care of it. And the God attitude in you and through you, and the proper mental attitude and goodwill. And you do it to cause the Lord. That's in anything, guys and gals. And you can't always do it for men, but you can always do it for who? That's the key. I may not always please my boss, but I can always please the Lord by doing what He tells me to do inside me. And when I do that, I'm doing it. Verse 9, and ye masters, do the same thing unto them, forbearing threatening, knowing that your masters also is in where?
Heaven.
Neither there is a respect of persons of him. Notice that he only gives one verse to the masters. The probability is that the masters of the church, probably is there were not very many masters in the church in Ephesus. But we do serve a master, don't we? And Colossians chapter 1, 26 says, for ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. So that's probably a reference there, if you think about it, 1 Corinthians 1, 26, about that, there's not many called. There are not many noble. So they're not going to be many what? Masters. So you do the same thing as they told us slaves to do. There's absolute total equality in the body of Christ. That's why it's very, very important to know where you're at in the dispensation of grace. This grace message is not a race message. This grace message is not a bondage message. This grace message is not a controlling message. It's a free message. And there's no distinction, okay, between bond, free, male, female. Okay, God don't make that distinction. Why should you and I make that distinction? It's sad that we allow people standing in positions like this to control you. You've been there, done that, and got a t-shirt. You know, and then you was there most miserable, wasn't you? You know, now you're like, whoa, this is true stuff here. God's not a respectable person. And every person in the body is to live in the capacity that he is in as a member of the body of Christ. That's who you are. You're not a member of some social clique. You're not a member of some religious system or denomination system. They wear their name on their back just the same as the Cavaliers wear their name on the back, or the Cleveland Browns. You know, any sports team out there, they got their name on the back. These denominations out there doing the same thing, whether it's BD, PC, you know, CC, DD, all that stuff. They're on their own team. They're wearing their sports gear. You should be a member of the body of Christ. And verse 9 says, forbearing threatening. That is grace living, guys. Listen, you're going to be threatened from the day you die, from the time you're that small to the time you're this tall or whatever. You're going to be threatening with this grace living. And people's going to doubt you, and they're going to threaten you, and they're going to shut the door on you. You're going to lose family members and all that stuff. And knowing that your master is also in heaven, neither is a respect of persons. So whom are you supposed to reflect? From where? There you go. You know, now we can reflect. People will try to reflect. Sorry, guys. It's back there, and I know. But in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they want you to reflect Jesus Christ in that age group, in that time period. But you know something? What I understand to be, they couldn't do it. Then how in the world are you going to tell, somebody's going to tell you that you have to do it? You ever thought about that? You ever thought about people telling you live like Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John did, and the way Jesus walked this earth and followed Jesus in the earthly ministry? When the people that he had came to his own and died for many, and you know, millions of people in the Jewish religion that he called his own people, that was his people, that they didn't do it? And you think you're going to do that? Got another thing coming, mister. Look, as you reflect him and as an employer, as an employer, and as somebody responsible for the oversights of others, you do the will of God and a proper mental attitude. You know, many of you have been over corporations. Many of you have been over employees. Many of you over divisions. And many of you have your own business. And you have people, you know, working for you and stuff. You still got to present yourself who you are in Christ. And let your words be true. And that yea means yea and nays mean nay. You know, that type of thing. A couple more verses. Colossians chapter 4, verse 1. Colossians chapter 4, verse 1. Masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that ye always have a master in work in heaven. Point this passage has to do with the fact that you and I, no matter where we are, should do the will of God in our employment. And if we are filled with the Spirit and controlled and dominated by the energizer of the Word of God in us, we're going to do the will of God in our employment. Now, we're going to come up with some things, and people's going to come to you and try to get you to nudge a little bit and fidge. You know, when I train people, I go to certain places and I have to warn them ahead of time. It's not going to be a pleasant experience for you. That's when you get out of this truck, he's going to talk the most nastiest talk you ever heard. I'm sure he's heard worse, you know. And he's going to cut you. He's going to cut the company. I said, but you stand there and you don't smirk, don't smile. Because when I learn, when people tell jokes or things like that, if you just do this, they assume you agree with them and they won't stop. So you just stand there, you take the paperwork and say, I'm sorry you feel that way, sir, whatever the case may be. And they sign the paperwork and you leave. Don't get involved with that stuff. That's not your job. You with me? So you present yourself who you are, and you present yourself, whether they're saved or unsaved, if you have an employer, you're still representing that person. You know that, don't you? So when you go in there and you start cutting up and you start cutting, you know, saying things about the company, they'll call in on you. And they'll fire you. That's what I tell them. They can say, we don't want you here. You know. So it's best just to go in there and do your job and be a representative of your employer the right way versus the wrong way. But if you're being strengthened by His Spirit and the inner man using the Word of God to energize us, then we're going to do that will. You're going to stand. You're going to make decisions based on who you are. They're going to come to you with problems. They're going to come to you with questions. And you're going to intelligently respond to them of who you are in Christ Jesus based on right division. And you know what? It may be not pleasant for them to hear you, what you're going to say. Because I shoot straight with people when it comes to that. And I said, this is what this says. Don't take it personal. You know, I'm not attacking you. I'm attacking the situation. And that's the answer. But that is that we serve the Lord in the capacity of the mental attitude and a proper heart. If your heart's lined up in the Word of God and your mental attitude's right with the Word of God, it doesn't matter what situation we're in, we can just say, okay, it's going to be hard. Let me back up and rethink some things. You know, I'll share this with you right quick. We moved some furniture yesterday, and it wasn't that hard. But it was a little overwhelming of what we have to do in the near future. So I'm thinking we could have a church service at our house one day. We have the men loading. We have the women doing this and men doing that. I'm like, no. I may have to make a conscious decision. You had to hire somebody. I'm serious. Because it's overwhelming. Many of you moved and stuff. It's like, okay, I can move a box. You know, I can load this, but unloading it, it takes time, it takes pressure, and you start thinking about some things. But I can make an intelligent decision based on who I am because of health issues, or whatever case may be, you don't want to be doing those things. I'd much rather be doing other things, would you not? But anyway, Father, once again, we thank you for the time you've given us. And as we think about our position in Christ, and as we are under your authority and the will of God, and we think about the things that we're going through on a daily matter, let us just rest in the fact that we want to please you, Lord. And as we please you, we please our family, we please our kids, we please our, the kids please us, we please our employer and employees. And Lord, as we think about a lost and dying world out there, that they're in a situation that may be not pleasing to you, but we be able to just stand and share of who we are in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Any questions, comments? Okay, good, thanks.